Welcome everyone to Tech Talk UK with Kev Wright and Richard Yates. Hey there everybody, welcome along to Tech Talk UK. This is show number 67 and we're recording this on Sunday the 7th of March 2021. And I'm joined by Mr. Richard Yates after a few little gremlins.
Good morning, Kev. How are
again.
You?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine. I had some problems with Skype again, but an update seemed to sort it out. So we're all okay. Yeah, I'm a year older than I was on the last show.
Yeah, happy birthday! You've joined the oldies.
Yes, yeah, so I had a birthday on Thursday, as you know clearly.
Indeed. You're as old as me now.
I'd like to. Yeah, absolutely. I caught you up.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thanks for the little gift you guys all gave me, which for the listeners is basically I've got to go and book something. I'm not allowed to buy a P30 Pro or even Bitcoin or anything like that. I've got to go and do something like fly a plane or jump out of one or I don't know. We did discuss other things that aren't appropriate for the show, so we won't go there.
Should just say, to be fair, one of the participants in this was one of the listeners. So we won't name them and embarrass them, but very generous donation to the fund.
Oh, thank you, listener. And I did, in fairness, have several people, or a couple of people, sent me a tenner on the PayPal thing to say get a beer for your 60th, and a couple of other people asked me to shout out the address again on the next show or send it to them. So this isn't asking for donations, we're only going to do that once a year, but thank you for the offer, thank you for the people that sent them, thank you for the people that contributed to that fund. And it's obviously it's the same old thing really, which is not at all, is it? It's paypal.me / Kev Wright. paypal.me/Kev Wright.
So you're getting old now, Kev.
I'm getting too old for this. So yeah, I've been looking at booking a flight. There's a couple of things that have got me thinking and I need to think. One is I have reached the tender age of 60 years old and have never flown in a plane. The closest I came was inside Concorde at Duxford, but that was very much not taking off or even starting. So that might shock a few people, but there it is. And there's two schools of thought, really. One is, yes, going up in a tiny plane with one tiny little engine about the size of my moped is a great idea, or a really terrible one, depending on who you listen to. Shortly after our Friday night thing, I had a suggestion on YouTube to watch some disaster clips, near-death things. And, of course, I shouldn't have watched that because there was two.
Oh, that's a silly idea.
The thumbnail certainly didn't show a plane. It showed cars. But there was a light aircraft. But even though his wing sort of fell off, he still managed to land it in a field. So, you know, that would be exciting, wouldn't it, if I had my GoPro on?
So I think I might be overdoing it though.
We shall see. Yeah, we shall see. There is a couple of other things that I quite fancy doing that you guys have said is acceptable. So if anyone's got any suggestions, not rude ones, because we've already covered most of those, for something that I wouldn't otherwise do, then you're welcome to send them to me at Kev Wright on Twitter, of course. Okay, so this is Tech Talk UK, not Birthdays UK. So let's crack on with the show. Over to you, because I haven't got a single word to say this week.
Well, that's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah. So is that it? Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah. It's a bit of a short show.
A bit of a short show. Okay, so I'll tell you what I'll kick off with then, essentially. I will kick off with, you'll remember a little while ago, I got rid of the air, or I did a whatever you call it, really, a donation drive with a prize. And the guy, Andy Grove, was so, so kind to let me keep the Mi 10. He donated it back to the show, effectively, so that basically, I think, so that I cover Android as well as only talking about iOS, which is the danger. And I I've kind of got a little bit bored with that device and I want something with an AMOLED screen. So yet again, he has reached incredible levels of kindness. I requested permission, or at least I didn't want to upset him. So I requested permission, if you like, to do this. And he has very graciously granted that permission. So if you've got an AMOLED phone that you'd like to swap for this Mi 10T Lite 5G, dual SIM, of course, I'm happy to do that. Obviously, I will either take an older AMOLED phone, I don't know, such as an S9 Plus or something. Good Lord, that's very loud.
Sorry.
I will look at any other AMOLED phone, and I've got about 100 quid I can bung in to the fund in your direction if the value is quite a bit higher than that. So any idea, you know, if you've got any ideas, I would at the end of that process, if no one's got anything to swap, I'll put it on MeWe later and Twitter, but if no one's got anything to swap along those lines, then I would again, Andy's fine with me selling it, provided I put it immediately towards another Android phone. So, and keep that ball rolling, if you like. So, just a little thought there. The Mi 10T Lite is immaculate. Obviously, I have got a third-party case because the one in the box I don't think is very good. So, you can have that as well. And I guess I can't remember where we all got them from. It was Mi.com, wasn't it? UK official.
It was a special offer one day.
Yeah, so I got a feeling it might even have a 2-year warranty on there. But if you want to buy it, again, contact me on Twitter or MeWe, and we will go there. And I tell you what I will just quickly do while I've mentioned MeWe. Some people know, some people don't, but on one of the three mods on the classified section in there. And just a request in a way, really. And this actually was an interesting insight because one chap posted quite a few sort of comments. He posted a wanted. I think it's the wanted ads that are the culprit for this. And all this is all very first worldy problems. From my old days of running the PSC forum, the old one, I tried to just keep the chatter to a minimum because a lot of people have got their browsers set, like I have, for a new comment to send the item back to the top of the reading list. I kind of prefer that, really. There's two options in me where you can have that or you can just have the latest actual original post stays at the top, regardless of if any other posts get a message. But obviously, because I'm modding it, I want to see all the messages. So all I'm really asking is that people don't sort of comment and start threads on there that would be much, much better off in the PSC, the main PSC group. So now, to be fair to this chap, I'm not going to mention his name, but to be fair to this chap, he didn't even know PSC existed. He thought that PSC Classify was the only group for PSC. So that was why he was sort of having conversations there. But lots of people do it. And I understand it's just really people are trying to be helpful. So but if someone posts that they want a P40 Pro, What I will actually delete without even referring to it in future or commenting on it, I'll just delete it if you say, oh, have you tried XYZ? And then a whole thread starts up. So just in classified, obviously, I'm nothing to do with the main PSC group at all. So, yeah, that's that. The other thing I found out last night, I don't know if you use Rich MeWe on both mobile and browser. From time to time. So on browser, do you have the chat? It's so confusing, really, because you think of MeWe as a whole chat system, but in the PSC group, there's a separate, in the background, chat window where you can have all sorts of random chat. And Ted, I know in the past, has said, look, if you're gonna list the XYZ phone has had a minor update or even a major update, don't put it in the PSC group, put it in the chat, because that's a better place for it. It gets very confusing in there. One thing I found out last night, someone thought I was commenting to a comment they made, and I think they took very slight umbrage at it. And I wasn't commenting to that at all. I was commenting to a comment further up. But of course, it appeared under this other chap's comment, and I couldn't work out why he didn't know that I wasn't talking to him. And I found out last night, if you look at the PSC chat, which is the background box, if you like, it's easier to see on a browser, but it's in the app as well, of course. On the app, you can see that I've quoted, you know, like in Telegram, we quote each other's messages. So you know that I'm talking to you, even if your message was 2 hours ago, you know, and the chat has moved on about 400 messages by then. And basically, on the app version, you don't get to see that someone is quoting someone. Basically, but on the browser version you do. So if you look at PSC chat right now, which is 10:30 on Sunday the 7th, you'll see I've posted an example in there, and I think that's where all the misunderstanding came from.
To be completely honest, I was one of the people who voted to close the chat thing. Most of that stuff I think would be better in the group.
Absolutely.
I tend to look at MeWe about once every 5 hours. So, you know, you're arriving these 50 messages, you can't work out what's relating to which unless you concentrate on it. And to be brutally honest, I just don't have the time. I think, you know, if you've got this problem about phone updates, and I can understand why people were getting frustrated about that, to my mind, have a phone update topic, and then you can just ignore it if you want to.
But I
found the chat really unsatisfactory. I mean, frankly, I think I find MeWe as a whole a very poor substitute for Google Plus. Now, having said all that, obviously Google Plus got closed, and I think Tether's done a great job with what he has set up. But personally, I think the chat detracts from it rather than adds to it. I'd rather it were got rid of. They are a bit radical for the morning, but they are.
No. I think there's a couple of things I would say on there. If you're against the chat on there, and I'm not a fan of it, don't get me wrong. When we did have TT UK, I disabled it completely. And it's disabled on classified, of course, as well. But here's the thing, if you're upset with the way that works, then I can't see how you like Telegram, because that works exactly the same way.
The thing about Telegram, though, is the groups that I'm in on Telegram, I think the largest has got 11 people.
I get that.
Don't get me wrong, I don't have a problem with the chat thing of itself. I think most of what's in there would be better in the main group. It's just being brutally honest. If I come back and there's like 50 messages or something, I just don't have the time to read them. You know,
it's
a bit silly. I've got Telegram, I've got Twitter, I've got MeWe. I could spend half the day on social media, and unfortunately, I've got work to do as well. So I just sort of think, well, I just ignore the chat, basically.
And that's fine, because I mean, imagine our Telegram group I think it's 13 people, isn't there? But with that, imagine, and a couple don't really speak a lot, so basically, imagine that with 600 people in, and you'd have you just would be unusable completely. And I don't think, in fairness, the MeWe chat on PSC is as bad as that. I keep trying to ignore it because you can switch it off, but it just comes back anyway. So I think
really the point is, if it's in the group, you can look at the top message and say, this is about, let's say, Motorola phones, for argument's sake. Now, some people, our good friend Ted, love Motorola phones. Personally, I've never rated them. I just know it's not a topic I want to read about. It doesn't matter. If Motorola suddenly brought out a complete killer of a phone, well, maybe I would be interested. But right now, I'm not. So if it's in the main group, you can look at the heading and think, yeah, okay, well, there's 10 messages there, but actually I'm not too worried about those. If it's in chat, you actually have to... It's kind of like grifting for gold or something, you know. By the time you've panned out all the stuff that is perfectly reasonable chat, there's nothing wrong with it, but just not what I'm interested in, you can easily waste 10 minutes doing that. And I also find the way it's all sort of jumbled up in chat as well quite sort of confusing sometimes. I mean, exactly what happened to you, you can't necessarily see who's replying to what. I had that experience of completely unintentionally, didn't massively upset somebody, but they were, I think it's a bit much, you know, and I go, pardon?
There's developed a solution to that in chat, and that is that you just at people in the start of the reply, and I hadn't realised that, and you know, so I won't make that mistake again. I'll use that system. The reason I raised this was just really how silly that MeWe, I'm going to send a report to MeWe later. I don't know whether they have any effect at all, but if you guys think the same, maybe if we all do it, they will do something about it. If you're going to have replies, I mean, the reason Telegram works at all is that you can, if you've not been into Telegram for 5 hours, you want to reply to something I said 5 hours ago, you can just hit reply, and that will put the first line of your reply in. Now that goes back, actually, that whole system goes back to the way that CIX used to work.
Yeah.
On the AMIEL. I think it was called.
AMIEL, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, and that is exactly how that used to work. You'd see the first line, you go in 2 days later, but it didn't matter because you'd see that first line.
You could pick it up, yeah, exactly.
And you could pick it up. So, you know, I think it's fine. I only mention it in passing because there might be other people that don't necessarily know how it works. But I've spoke to Ted also briefly about this on email, and in fairness, we can all say what we want, and we can say it till we're blue in the face. But the users, when you've got 600 of them, they're all going to do different things. So,
of course.
we'll adapt, and we'll. All I really wanted to say is, in classified, if we can keep wanted adverts in particular are the culprit, because this chap, in all innocence, this chap had put, you know, I want an XYZ. Oh, and by the way, if you've got one, can you tell me all about it?
Yeah, and, it's difficult too, wasn't it?
You know, someone else said, well, I was trying not to identify him, but you've now blown him, but never mind. So it doesn't matter. It's not. I'm only joking anyway. And actually, someone pointed out to him in that before I deleted them all that actually there was a big Z Fold 2 thread already on the PSC group. So I think in this particular case, the other thing that was quite interesting is the chap in question actually doesn't really listen to PSC. So there's been some question about letting him in or not, but I think he's overcome that now, hopefully. So he's a nice chap, and he's bought phones off me in the past and donated. So, yeah. Well, we're not going to mention his name now, even though you've blown his cover, and it doesn't matter anyway.
It doesn't matter. He's not actually done anything he shouldn't have done. I mean, just another comment on MeWe. You might remember a couple of years ago I had that problem with identity theft.
Yeah.
And when I did, I went round absolutely everything I could, putting two-factor authentication on it. So Twitter, Facebook, which I virtually never use, but there we are. You know, all of these things. And MeWe, there's no 2FA. So
right.
I sort of Googled around, and I found a statement by them in, I think it was spring 2018, saying, yeah, we know we don't have 2FA, but it's coming soon.
Mm.
Well, we can now pay for emojis, and we can pay for a dark theme, but actually, to me, 2FA is far, far, far more important and something I'd be far more willing to donate for. And to a degree, that also makes me a bit reticent to make too many comments on MeWe, because, well, having had that experience, I have a shrewd suspicion I know how it happened, but I'm not certain. But I do know it involved trawling for information online. Well, if you've got something with no 2FA, yeah, somebody's got to go to the trouble of getting an account and getting in there, and sure, 2FA doesn't protect you from that, but it's just another way that you run the risk of being attacked, and it's something that I'm reluctant to do when I don't need to.
They're now quoting quarter one or quarter two of this year for it.
Great. When they do, let's see it. But I mean, it was 2018 was the first time they said they were going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think that's not taking the. You know, in fact, I'll go so far as to say this publicly: when they do it, I'll make them a donation.
Right, well, I've already made him a donation, only a little one.
I know you have. You've got a nice shiny
got a badge.
Badge,
aren't you? Got a nice
and
badge.
That's the reason I don't have a shiny badge. Yeah, I'm saying I'll support them for a month, but, you know. But, yeah, I don't mind banging something in their pot, but I think that's actually an important oversight.
Their reply, actually, is on Twitter to a person obviously posing as Trump, saying he wants to migrate to MeWe from Facebook, but he can't because it hasn't got 2FA on it. And they've sort of replied in all seriousness, even though it's obviously a parody account. And he's replied to them saying, good, thumbs up. So there we go.
It's necessary. The short answer. Rather basic, actually.
On that subject, I've changed password managers again.
Yeah, I saw that. Why?
Yeah. So basically, LastPass, there was nothing really wrong with LastPass. I think all these password managers have, when you're mostly using iOS, if you were only using iOS, you could pretty much use the iOS built-in system, the keychain, apart from one thing. So when I had LastPass installed, And for example, I've got so many logins for work now where you have to go to different sites at different, I've got three separate identities for work depending on what you're logging into. And LastPass used to, so you'd log into your Rota system, for example, not that it matters because it's been wrong ever since day one, since the transfer to Waitrose anyway, but you'd log into that and it pops up it does Face ID, which is great, and then it pops up and you've got your three choices, and I know which one of those I want. You press it and you're in. With the iOS built-in system, it pops up. For some reason, it pops up but can't recognise what app you're on. It basically, then you have to go and type in what you want. Now, it's as simple as typing the word Lewis or L-E-W even, or J-O-H, and it picks it up and brings those three up and you click it. So, again, very first world problems here. But, you know, we all want the easiest solution. LastPass, I didn't want to pay. I think it, actually, in the end, it might be sensible for me to just, it might have been sensible, I should say this, to have stuck with LastPass. I think it's discounted to the first year for £22, and then it's about £32, I think. But because I'd already deleted the LastPass database, now it doesn't almost doesn't matter in a way because it doesn't matter at all actually because I've taken it out as a CSV, and it's dead simple to import it back straight back into LastPass, which I actually did do yesterday. And then I started thinking, well, do I need it on desk? Because LastPass have basically said from next week or a couple of weeks now, 16th, I think, from then, whatever you log into after the 16th, if you log in on iOS or if you log in on mobile, rather, it's stuck on mobile for the free one.
It's exactly what Evernote did, isn't it?
I don't know. Never used it.
I used to use Evernote quite a lot, and then they started saying, I think they wanted about £40 a year, which is not terrible, but there was no sort of tiering and no nothing. And I just thought, well, am I getting £40 a year use out of it? OneNote's free. and that's the trouble.
Yeah, that's it. And I looked at a lot of the free ones, but in the end, 1Password, you know, I mean, they're all very similar. I had, of course, swapped to Bitwarden, which is is what they recommend for LastPass users because it's completely free.
If I even knew what it was, Kev, do tell.
It's just a password manager at the end of the day. It looks incredibly similar. It works incredibly similar to LastPass. It's just literally a well thought out. It's open source, which I think I mentioned on the last show, I have a vague idea of what open source is. I kind of know what open source is, obviously, but I understand it is a very good thing. But they don't charge for it. Although, again, I think there's pro levels and depending on what you want, you know. But for some reason for me, and I can't really put any logic behind this, I wasn't feeling it. It didn't pop those boxes up on iOS the same way that LastPass did. The reason I've given 1Password a go is it's the only one I could buy an actual pro subscription to with my Apple Store credit. They gave us, me, you and a few others, they gave us £50 recently, didn't they, for their cock-up on the price of the AppleCare Plus. That we purchased for our iPhone 12s. And I mean, in fairness, it was very generous because all they did essentially was charge us £2 more. And I knew actually that it was £9.99. It was Dave telling us it was only £7.99 because that's what it came up at. But it came up
at £7.99 when I took it out. Actually.
Well, it came up at £9.99 until...
Mine came straight out at £7.99. In fact, I got an email from them saying it was £7.99 as well.
Yeah, so did I. But I mean, so in other words, they've given us £50 because that's £2.
Yeah, they've given us more back, haven't they?
They've given us £2 more back, I suppose, because it's for 20... If you had it for 24 months. I've just cancelled mine, so I've basically got a free about £40 free because I've only paid for a month since they done that. I no longer want that cover, so I've ditched it. So I wanted to use that credit really because there's £48 sitting there and I don't really buy anything anymore, to be honest. So it'd be sitting there forever. So I wanted to give that a go. If 1Password doesn't work, I can't really comment on it because I only installed it later last night, so I haven't really played too much with it. initially actually logging in. I might just try it live, actually. Initially trying to log in. I'm not sure that I've fully set it up yet. And again, you just basically you just import your cool, blimey, sorry, I just saw a thing on my iPhone saying that your direct debit goes out tomorrow, and it's, I thought it said £1,000. It actually says £100, so it's not quite so disturbing as...
Taking you aback a bit, that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sorry about that. So if I go in now, we'll do it live, so I'm going to go into my Rota app, and what is it going to do? What is it going to do? It's exciting, this. Sign on, password, so I have to still have to press the passwords button. One password, and yeah, it gives me all three, the same as LastPass did. I have a feeling that LastPass did it automatically without quite as much intervention, but it might be one button press extra, which I can live with. We'll see. They reckon that 1Password is a bit better than LastPass, and it's got an Apple Watch app as well, which sounds interesting. So I'll report back in 2 weeks on that and let you guys know. It's basically, I think it's the, it, well, it's the old Apple thing again, isn't it? If you buy it through the App Store, it's dearer. It's about, I think it's $3.49 on a month on Apple Store. After the first 6 months, which is $8.99 for the first 6 months, so you can try it for 6 months really for $8.99, and it's not a, you know, if you can't use it, it's not a huge loss. It does seem very complicated in a way that there are versions that you can get a free 14 day or 30 day, but it looks like through the App Store you can only get this $8.99 subscription. I'm sure I've done that wrong in a way, but the other thing that happened, the onboarding is a bit weird because you basically double click. Now, I went online with Apple because on Apple's support pages, they actually say, and I couldn't find it again after the event. While I was on chat to Apple, I tried to find this bloody support page again and I couldn't. But they actually say some subscriptions can't be charged to your store credit. Yeah, which is odd. Now, I think I got to the bottom of it when I was chatting to the guy who was brilliant, actually, on Apple. Instant connection to Apple chat, and he was really, really good.
We'll come to that in a minute. But
yeah, sure thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've got a different side to it. But for me, anyway...
You carry on, we'll get there.
I had great... I mean, I asked him the question, and he said, oh, yeah, definitely come out of store credit. And I said, oh, you know, it does say on an Apple page, I'll go and try and find it, and I couldn't. And he said, look, I'll go and do the... go and buy it, go and subscribe to it. If it doesn't come out of your store credit, I'll reverse it and immediately refund you for it. So I said, yeah, all right, then no problem. So I did it. He said, yes, it's come out of your store credit. And, of course, on iTunes or Music, as it's called now, on the Mac, it doesn't update immediately on there. So I said, no, it hasn't come out of my store credit. But once I logged out and logged back in, I could see it has. I believed him, by the way. I did that afterwards. I believed him. You know, he was from Apple and he was sitting there. So then what happens is you've obviously downloaded it. It recognises your email that you've just subscribed on, which kind of confused me because my Apple ID email is completely different to my email that I've used for 1Password. But I guess it just uses a token from my Apple account into that app. But it basically, it sends you a 2FA via text, sadly, but it does. So you put your phone number in and it sends you a code. You put that code in and it says, OK, let's get you set up. You've got a 6-month trial. Put in your master password, which I did. And then at the second attempt to put the master password in to confirm it, if you like, it failed and it just locked the app up, basically. Nothing happened.
Oh, joys.
Yeah, so I sat there. I left it for about 5 minutes and it wasn't spinning anything, which I don't. The iPhone often doesn't, actually, does it? It just sort of sits there if it dies, an app dies. Now, I'm on beta, of course, on the iPhone, 14.5 beta. So I thought, fair enough, you know, you're going to get the odd thing, and I've had hardly anything at all, actually. It's been pretty faultless. I'm on public beta 3 now, and it's been faultless from public beta 1. Anyway, I eventually flicked it away and opened it again, and it said, yeah, let's get you started, you know, and then gave you the screen to sign up for the trial again. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, to hell with it. I reached out. Oh, God, did I just say that? I've got to delete
that. You did. I winced at the sound of that.
It's 29 minutes and 27 seconds, which I'm never going to remember later, but I've got to delete that. I cannot abide those words. Right, I sent an email to...
Congratulations, Kev. You really are now a grumpy old man.
This will sound weird now if I do delete the other bit, but anyway, I didn't do that thing, which is what you do when you pick something up off a table. I actually sent an email to 1Password's support thing. I got an auto bot reply saying they'll reply eventually. It was late at night in the UK. It was a Saturday, obviously, anyway, in the US. It's a Saturday, actually, everywhere, probably. Actually, that's not always true, is it? Anyway, I'm rambling now. And in the end, I couldn't wait, so I just said, oh, sod it, I'll do it, and I'll get back in touch with my old mate on Apple support and get a refund for one of them if it charges me again. And, of course, the system worked fine. It didn't charge me again. It recognised that I'd already done it and failed, and it went through the setup perfectly. I don't know if you've noticed this with purchases. You know, if you've, say you've bought an iOS app years ago and you've long since deleted it and you go back to it, and then you download it, sometimes it says it's going to charge you until you actually double-click the power button, and then it says, oh, you already own this. You've got it for free. And you think you're going to pay for it, and you sort of almost got to trust it. And if it's $1.99, $2.99, you don't really give a monkey's either way. But when it's $8.99 or if it was $32.99, then... That's a different story.
You'd be a bit obsessed about that, wouldn't you?
But it appears, if I do like 1Password, it appears that I can basically cancel that just before the 6 month ends, and essentially then contact customer support at 1Password and switch over to a direct purchase system. Or if I've still got the credit in there, because obviously I've still got 39 quid credit, then in a way I may as well let them take 32 quid for another year's subscription if I really like it. So. Yeah, I haven't installed it on my Android phone yet, mainly because, as I say, I'm looking to move that along and get another Android phone. Mm. So what's your Apple help story?
I haven't got as far as Apple help yet, but that's going to be another job. But this is a really odd one. My wife is a very keen photographer. I think I've said that before. And she's got something like 100,000 photos that she's been curating in photos since 2004, you know, all nicely put into folders and everything else.
How many of those are of you?
Of me, very, very few. Very, very few.
So where are these? On iCloud?
So the other day she says to me, I can't see any of my photos before 2013. Now, bearing in mind that these go back to, as I say, 2004, I'm thinking, oh, well, okay, it doesn't matter, they'll be on iCloud. But I have a look at her computer and it says her photos library is 29 gigs. And I'm thinking, not the smallest chance on earth it's as small as that. So I then go on to iCloud Photos, you know, log in through the web interface, and it says the same. Her photos library is 30 gigs, at which point I'm thinking, well, that's not terribly clever. What on earth's going on here? So then I looked into her iCloud storage usage, because both of us store our photos on iCloud on a shared 2 terabyte account. So, you know, there's no question we run out of space. And sure enough, if you go into the amount of iCloud being used, it says she's got 460-something gigabytes of photographs, which is far more believable. So I've tried every which way I can think of, and basically Photos doesn't recognise the photos that apparently are still on iCloud, but what disturbs me a lot more is the iCloud photo viewer doesn't recognise these photos that are on iCloud either. So basically I have to get onto Apple support. But I thought, well, before I do this... because what we've always done is double backed up everything online. It took me a long, 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 long time to convince her that this was going to be safe. So as you can imagine, it's been a bit of a stressful 24 hours. So the first thing I did was to check that they were still safely stored up on Google Photos. And they were. So I ordered a Google Takeout. Now, have you ever used Google Takeout, Kev?
I think I did do a Google Takeout a while back. Was it that, or was it some other service that I took out? I think it was the Google Takeout, yeah.
Well, the good news is all the photos were still on Google Photos, and it took Google about an hour to prepare a Google takeout and send me download links. But when I say links, I was expecting one or maybe two links. No, I got 331 2 gigabyte files. So I have spent almost the entire weekend so far downloading these, and at some point in the next hour or so, Amazon is delivering to me a 2 terabyte drive, which I will back them up onto. But the problem then is they're all in zip files. So I now have 331 zip files to extract. But what's really, really weird about this is, like, for example, the first one I opened contained some photos from 2008, and it's neatly in folders 2008 and some from 2014.
Oh.
So when you open these, they're not in any obvious logical sequence.
Wow.
So it's going to be a very, very, very long job to actually extract them and store them on... store them locally. But unfortunately, I think I now have no choice. And of course, the probably 6 week long diet of humble pie, because it didn't turn out to be as safe as I was absolutely adamant it would be, is going to be a little bit galling, I think. But there you go. So Apple is slightly in my bad books at the moment. Google is less in my bad books, in the sense that they have indeed provided me with what appears to be a complete download of all of her photos, but in an incomprehensible format that I can't do very much without an awful lot of effort. And I suppose the answer is she shouldn't be storing every single photograph she's ever taken. She should be curating them and whatever else. Mm. But like a lot of photographers, she tends to just take them and, she can extract bits from them, remind herself of what settings she was using, what went wrong with this, and so on and so forth. You know, it really is her thing. It's one of the reasons I'm into taking photographs on phones. I'll never be as good a photographer with a proper camera. But I just think to myself, how can this have happened? You know, I mean, if I go into my photos on iCloud, I can see everyone going back to, in my case, about 1998.
Right.
They're all there, and it's a library on iCloud that is visible through the iCloud photo viewer. She definitely isn't going to have gone, delete 70,000 photographs. It's not the smallest chance she would have done that.
No.
And yet they still seem to be there. They're completely inaccessible. So I fancy I'm going to be spending some time on chat to Apple over the next day or two, because this reminds me a bit of when I installed a beta and an iCloud went wrong then. This is going back, I don't know, iOS 9, I think it was. But that took me months to sort out, and umpteen phone calls before it actually, chat messages. And I ended up actually having to get that one dealt with in Cupertino in the end. They actually put me through to an engineer in Cupertino, had me explain the problem, and fair enough, and full credit, it was all sorted within about an hour. But your sort of heart sinks when something like that happens, doesn't it? I mean, the bit that really sticks in your throat is all of her neatly curated folders going back to 2004 are visible in photos, and every single one says no photos within it. You just sort of want to weep at that point, don't you?
Well, yes, and something you said you got to eat some humble pie. That's never a great thing. I've done that a few times, but I don't know why you're having to have that, really, because you said it's because that this wasn't as safe as you said it was. But unless I misheard or misunderstood, she hasn't lost a single photo.
Well, yeah, except that they're not easily accessible in one of 331 zip files, are they? That's the problem.
Well, there's got to be software to take care of that, surely.
Well, you would have thought so.
There's got to be. It might cost you a few quid, but there's got to be software to take care of that.
I'm not unduly bothered. I mean, yeah, if it cost me a bit to sort that out, well, it cost me a bit to sort it out. My first priority, though, is to get this backup done. Feel that that's safe, so to speak, but it's not what you want, is it?
Well, I mean, I would consider a spinning drive, which I'm assuming you haven't bought a 2 terabyte SSD.
No, it is a spinning drive. Yeah.
So I'd consider that way less secure than having them on Google Photos, essentially. And surely if you want to find them on Google Photos, you still can by typing in a subject.
You can.
Which you can't do really with the takeout files at the moment, anyway.
I mean, firstly, your comment about a spinning drive, I completely agree with. It's a temporary expedient. But the point really is that there's all, in this sense, I was talking to James about it the other day, and he says, well, look on the bright side, your fail-safe has worked, hasn't it? You got two copies of all
of
these.
Yeah, exactly.
And one, the point is, I want to go back to having two copies because now I've only got one copy and it's all online. So, yes, I agree with your comment about the spinning drive, and I'm looking into a number of options on that. The first thing to do, though, is to get, a physical copy of these so that if Google were to throw a wobbly as well, which I think is unlikely to be absolutely truthful, but it could happen, I don't want a repeat of this that results in her losing 70,000 photos, because I think I'll be looking to live in a doghouse if that happens.
Yeah, I think there is some weird things that sometimes occur, and you think, like, I'll give you an example. About a month ago, we went through, or I started to go through, a whole load of my old photos, real photos on photographic paper and with the negatives in, you know, when it used to be proper photography, if you like. And actually, that's not fair, because it's much better these days than it was back then. And this was a big eye-opener, because we were looking for old photos of her mum and dad, Jackie's mum and dad. And we realised, or she realised, we didn't really have any, apart from a few, like, wedding snaps, which are so bad, you know, they're hard to do anything with, really. So anyway, we're going through these photos, and of course, they go back many, 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 many years. And I'm going through, and one particular stack, I get a pile out. They're in bags and boxes, and they're all, you know, really messy. And I'm scanning through, and I'm sorting out. And she comes along, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, look, in that pile, there's 48 terrible shots of a dark, horrible sky with nothing in it. Obviously, we were trying to take a picture of a plane or something. There's a little dot in the middle of it. So I've kept one of those, and I'm binning the other 14. "No, you're not," she says. "We're keeping them all." And we had a proper sort of 2-minute mini argument about it. But obviously, we're keeping them all. That goes without saying.
Didn't they tell the argument?
But there is no way she will ever, ever, ever look at those. And I will. I do the usual thing in our relationship. Now I've remembered it. When she's next off and I'm in, which could be today, actually, I'll bin them, and she'll never know I've binned them, and no one will care, and it'll be the end of the story. But I guess my question to you is, when did your good lady last look at any of the photos from 2003?
Actually, that is the ironic thing. Often.
All right. So how does she do it then?
On her Mac. That's why she became aware that they weren't working properly.
On a Mac. Okay. So bearing in mind, I don't use the Mac for photos. What does she physically do? Go into the Photos app now.
Go into the Photos app. Yeah.
Okay. Because I haven't used that in years. Let me fire that up. And so library, right, okay. So what we're saying is, so actually it's rubbish for me, because in my library, I don't use it, do I? So all I've got, what do I go back to? I go back to September 2020. So
that slightly kills it. But of course, she could go back to 2004. And
yes.
I think as well, when I look at how many photos my kids have got of their children, the amount we have of ours is really very small, because we first had a digital camera in 2003, I think it was. And prior to that, of course, you got the old 35mm film. You couldn't really tell what you were taking. I mean, it was a whole different way of taking photos, wasn't it? I think probably we've got, in total, in a 20-year period, something like 1,500 photos, because they also bloody expensive to get them to buy the film and get them processed and all of that sort of stuff. So she has looked quite a lot of the pictures that we've got that are actually on physical paper, which are prior to that. And then she was thinking, I'll start looking through holidays we had when the kids were sort of teenagers and that sort of thing, which sadly is a bit of a long time ago now, but there you go. And that was when the problem became apparent, that actually they all appear to have disappeared into the ether. Now, okay, I can get her to look at Google Photos, but she'd spent hours curating the Apple photos. And, you know, it's to say the least a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
You go in there thinking you've got all your memories from 20 years ago, and into this school now, 15 years ago, I suppose.
How did
they've all disappeared.
I think I missed what you just said in one respect. How did she get the ones from 20 years ago onto Apple Photos?
Uploading memory sticks on.
Oh, they were already digital.
Or been scanned, or whatever. That was more like 15 years ago. Yeah. We did actually spend months scanning the paper ones, but I mean, there's another story for another day about photos in a digital format that aren't actually quite so easy to share as you might think. But whatever, those are okay. But no, I mean, we basically said, well, okay, short term, I want to get a download of all of these zips, and frankly, what I will probably do is upload those zips to Dropbox just to make sure that there's more than one backup, you know, whether they're sorted and extracted or not doesn't matter, because I've got the space on Dropbox. But just was not really the Saturday I was hoping for, if I wanted.
No, I think if I'm honest, I mean, both of us, you know, are reasonably tech savvy, if you like. We're not in Mike Warner's league, for example, but we know our way around it. I can build a computer, so can you probably.
I've
never really understood how Apple Photos work. I used to have this exact same conversation with Nick, and he'd go, oh, it's really simple, it's this, this, and this. I've just done a quick search for missing photos on Apple, and it's saying two things you can check is that you haven't accidentally hidden some, which I'm sure you've already done, and also turn off iCloud Photos and wait a few minutes, turn it back on again. So I don't know whether turning it off and on again is going to work in this case. But I mean, I'm just wondering if you've looked, because there's loads of articles from crap places, but also from iMore and people like that.
I had a little look yesterday, but I thought, well, my first priority here is to make sure that I've got more than one copy of these photos. Which I mean, they're now, I mean, they've filled up about the hard drives of about three computers, because that was the other problem. I mean, in total, all these downloads are about 600 gigs. And like, neither of us has a computer with a 600 gig hard drive, let alone free space.
No, exactly. How much is a 2 terabyte spinning external?
Oh, 70 quid or something.
Good God, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Exactly. Crazy. And I mean, I agree with you, it's not actually massively secure on there.
It's probably fine, to be fair, isn't it? They're much better than they used to be.
From there, I can upload the zips somewhere else online. I mean, for example, I've got an Office 365 subscription, but I don't use OneDrive. So actually, I've got a lot more space on there than Dropbox. So I can stick it on there. I just want it backed up somewhere else. That's the thing. Because I don't want to have a situation where, you know, are you telling me I've lost every photo I've taken since 2004 to ever arise ever again? It's just not one that I want to countenance.
No. No, I would be reasonably confident that they're not lost, because
I would too. It's just a case of how to join all the bits back together.
Yeah, it's just obviously some sort of system issue, isn't it?
And I also don't want Apple to flush them out of iCloud. And I mean, I don't know if there's any reason why they would, but, you know, if they reconcile it the wrong way, that lot's going to get trashed.
I can only imagine that Apple would have backups of backups. I don't know. I mean, photos going missing would be a huge thing for people, wouldn't they? So I don't.
Well, yeah, it is.
However, I mean, at the moment, like James has said, you haven't lost anything, and the system has worked. In my case, my big problem was we did lose a whole bunch of photos because I formatted the wrong drive when I was swapping computers about 15 years ago. I had formatted the wrong drive, got some of them back off it, you know, with the unformat, you know, data recovery software that was available. Declined to pay several hundred quid to send it off. Probably regret that now, but So I understand that perfectly. What other news have we got? So, yes, people seem to care what I do at work, and I appreciate their concern. My official contract with John Lewis, my original six-month contract, ends on Saturday the 13th. That's a bit ominous, isn't it? It's not a Friday, at least. And I take some solace in the fact that it's just a mix-up. It shouldn't really end until the 30th, because that's when I started, 30 September last year. But anyway, it doesn't really matter in a way, because I have obtained a job with Waitrose. It's for 22 and a half hours, no early starts. The starts are either 10 o'clock 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the daytime, thank goodness. And they obviously about 8 hour shifts or whatever, whatever that adds up to. So 22 and a half hours, not quite as much as I needed, but there's usually overtime. So I can grab some of that if I need to. And as time goes on, I'll be able to grab other hours maybe for some of the days I don't work. So I'll basically be working on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday basis, which means actually that in the near future I'll never work 2 days in a row. That'll be a very strange scenario. But I've kind of worked out actually in some respects, unless you do. There is a certain cut-off, really, with like when you don't pay tax and when you do pay tax. So,
yeah.
You know, the recent budget was a bit disappointing from the fact that no one's allowance is going to get increased for the next X number of years, although I guess they can reverse that if they want to. Isn't going to affect me because I'm not going to earn, what is it, a minute? 12,600 odd, I think?
12,500. So going up to 12,570 in April, and then it's sticking.
So basically, I'll not earn that much anyway in a year. But I know I worked out when I looked at my pension, because if you don't do that, you don't really pay any tax. Well, you don't pay any tax. I think it's simple as that, isn't it? Yeah. And your NI drops quite a bit as well, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, NI starts a little bit lower, but not a lot of it won't be.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll obviously have a shortfall each month to pay bills and things, but I'll nick that out of the savings that I've got. And I worked out that would probably keep me going at that basis for about 28 months. So at the end of the day, we're not going to starve or anything silly like that. I can pick up extra hours. Should be getting a little bit of a pay rise as well in April. So that'll be quite nice. In fact, they... So basically, what I don't know is when that starts at the moment. So I'm desperately, desperately trying to make sure that I don't have to like start from scratch again, if that makes sense. So I'm waiting for a reply back on that at the moment, because I'd be annoyed if that happened. Really, I don't see the point of that. You know, I've already done everything that I needed to do, and got a higher rating in my first assessment than most people get in their first 3 or 4 months. So hopefully that'll all be resolved during this coming week. So I'm in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off Friday, and then Saturday's my last day. But the only odd thing is no one's really sort of mentioned it. It seems not to me, not to any of my colleagues. So it seems quite strange in a way, but it is what it is. What I don't know is whether I'm going to actually go back to John Lewis. I don't think I am, you know. My thoughts have moved. Now, on two levels, really. One is that I don't think when they reopen, I don't personally think they are going to employ straight away. They have got a particular problem in my department, because there aren't many of us, or of them, I should say, but I think they'll pull from other areas of the business. I may be completely wrong, but the other point is that, you know, not through any fault of their own, they haven't been able to offer me continuous employment, and Waitrose have. So I feel a certain sort of loyalty and obligation. Plus, I also enjoy the job, and I think I mentioned on the last show, my blood glucose levels for my diabetes have never been better, ever, since I got it 14 years ago.
This is because you're more active.
Yeah, I think it's completely based. I mean, I show you guys on Friday night, I did 15,000 steps on Thursday. Or whatever day it was. I think it probably was Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, probably was Friday. I did 15,000 steps. I'm averaging about 12,500 steps a week now. And that includes doing hardly any on my days off. I haven't even been going out for a walk on my days off because the weather's not been great. And if I wasn't doing that job, I would definitely have gone for my, you know, 3 or 4 kilometre walk or whatever. But I haven't even been doing that because my blood sugar is, as I say, it's never, ever been lower. And on a couple of cases, it's been so low that I've had to go and eat some sugar to get it back up.
The right way for it to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it is to an extent. I mean, you would collapse at some point. So I don't want to, you know, you have to be a bit careful. But yeah, I'd rather have that than high in a way, because all that happens is in the moment when it's high is that you fall asleep. And possibly never wake up unless you get it down again quickly. But, yeah, it's so a large part of my mind is I kind of owe them for giving me the job, really. Although, you know, I'm doing a great job for them, I think, in my opinion. So I don't know if any of them listen to this. I think some of the John Lewis guys do. But the Waitrose managers might disagree with me, but I think I do a great job for them. I don't personally think the toilet roll has ever been as well filled as when I do it.
No, seems.
But, you know, I'm blowing my own trumpet a little bit there. And obviously I'm joking-ish, sort of. So I think that, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll work out okay. I've got a holiday booked for April, so I'm looking forward to that. 23rd, I think, of April. So fingers crossed that all goes ahead. And we'll get away up to the Lake District again. And
23rd of April. Yeah, I reckon you might be okay.
I've got a chance, I think. It's a caravan site, so obviously that's...
you go to the motorhome.
We don't have a motorhome. We've got a caravan now.
Well, there you go. It shows what I know, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
well, okay. Same difference fine. In a way. Isn't it? You're taking your own accommodation.
Very much the same. Yeah, and last time we went there in September last year, and they didn't even open the toilet block, which... I can sort of understand. It's a very small site with only two showers anyway, so it's you often couldn't get in it, and you ended up using your own shower in the caravan anyway. So, and that's the site, if you remember, which has got a fantastic 3 signal.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. You've got the fastest broadband in the world.
Literally. Because there's no one else on it most of the time. It's quite remote, and there's no one else on the tower. So hopefully it still exists and no one's burnt it down. Obviously, in 2 days' time, I'll have some sort of coverage against Corona. I had my first jab 2 weeks ago Tuesday. Didn't have any side effects. Now I think I don't think the listeners know that you've had yours yet either.
I had mine last Saturday. I was okay. My arm was a little bit sore, nothing much. But the day after, I did it last Saturday. The day after the Sunday, it was really weird. It was like I was in a mental fog. You know, everything was happening around me. But I had a bit of a headache on the Sunday and the Monday. But on the Monday, I started feeling fine, and I was fine. That said, I think it seems to go one way or another. I know quite a few people who, in particular in that arm, have had a very sore arm or their hands are swollen up. My elder son, who's a doctor in Norway, they're well behind us. I mean, he's a hospital doctor working in A&E, so he's absolutely on the front line of this. He finally got his injection this Wednesday, and he's got a very sore arm to the extent he had to have a day off because he couldn't bend his fingers. So I think it just depends how it affects you. And you and I have been a bit lucky, but to be quite honest, if I don't have a week off, I wouldn't care. I'm just very, very grateful to have had that. And I'm a week in, so by definition, there has to be some amount of activity going on there, I guess. But whatever, you know. Without being at all political, I think we just need to be very glad the government's done a good job of this, and the sooner everybody can be vaccinated, the better.
Well, as one of my favourite sayings goes, even a blind pig finds a truffle occasionally. So
it's a good thing that this particular truffle's been found. Then is all I can really say.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's not political at all.
Not terrible.
I'm desperately trying to think of something to round off the show that's tech. Although I think the vaccines are definitely tech, a couple of people appreciate the shout out for the podcast with Tim Harford, which is Vaccinate the World. And that is a great, great podcast, especially if you start listening to it now and you get to hear all the stuff at the beginning. It's up to about episode 18 or something, I think, now, or 14 or something. So it's a really good podcast. It's called Vaccinate the World. I don't know if it's BBC or not. I think it is. Can't remember.
I can give you a look. I bought a new toy in the week.
Okay, hit me.
Yeah, it's not a very exciting toy. Well, I've moaned to you before, haven't I, about how I have a problem with silicon. So, like, silicon straps on watches bring me out the rash. And sadly for me, my AirPods Pro started doing the same down my ear to the extent that I ended up with an ear infection.
Nice.
So I bought myself. It's a little Bluetooth sort of over-the-head headset with one earpiece. And it sits on top of my head like you see in a, you know, I suppose if you look at a call centre, people sit there with it's got like one earphone and one not, which is great because it means that if I'm called from downstairs, I can hear, unlike the proper headphones.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm going to give this a go, see how it goes. And it was absolutely great. And obviously you can twizzle with which way the microphone is, so you can switch ears if you get a bit too hot in there. But I'm really pleased with it, because I'm really very sad about the AirPods Pro, because in terms of the sound, I was very happy with them. But unfortunately, having tried it in one ear first and one ear in the other ear next, I did the classic thing. Different AirPods, of course, but the same thing happened. Basically, I got an ear infection in both ears within about a week. So looking like that, looking like my AirPods Pro are going to be sitting around unused until my ears are properly healed up, and then I'm going to be a bit more circumspect about using them. Did you
not like my suggestion of some cheap foam tips then?
Well, the problem with that is that they fit pretty much perfectly in my ear. So if I take them off and put foam tips on, I just then worry about the foam tips coming off. I was truly traumatised many, many years ago by having to, ultimately take my younger son to hospital to get a rubber tip that had come off the end of some in-ear earphones out of his ear. I tried very carefully with some tweezers and just couldn't do it. So I'm a bit wary about putting anything that might come off the end of earphones into my ear.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get some foam tips that wouldn't do that, but...
Maybe. I mean, the short answer is I've got to get my ears better, and at the moment I'm squirting... In fact, interestingly enough, I've got some... it's like a spray that I have to spray in my ears three times a day, and my ears are already a lot better. But the interesting thing is, if you look at what this spray is, it's a certain steroid called dexamethasone. So I guess my ear canals are probably fairly safe right at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, I just not. It's not a funny matter, is it, really?
No, indeed. Indeed. So I guess I'll just finish up by saying that I'm just kind of crazy in love with the iPhone all over again, really. It's... I think probably this 12 Pro has been the best decision I've ever made with iPhones.
Absolutely great device. I mean,
it's just almost like the perfect device, isn't it? We saw our friend Gav this week waxing lyrically about the Mini, which is a lovely device. Jackie's got one; it's very nice. And when he got one, and you know, he had a Max Pro, which I still say, I know you've got one, but I still say the iPhone Max. What the hell is it called?
Pro Max.
I still say that's just too big and heavy, really. I mean, it's probably fine while you're stuck at home, but...
Do you know what really disappoints me about it is that the Pro Max is a brilliant phone for me to work with, for example. I mean, on a trivial level, for example, it's great for looking things up while I'm working. It makes a great calculator because the buttons are nice and big. The bit that really galls me is that it's got the better camera. If it didn't have the better camera, I wouldn't have got it. And in fact, I know where Gav's coming from, because a couple of weeks back now, I actually am down to now three phones, which is quite reasonable going. No, tell a lie, four, because I've got one that's got no SIM in it. But two of them are iPhones, and one is a Mini, and that has the phone that the family ring me on and whatever, that I take with me when I go out for a walk, that sort of thing. What I wouldn't give to have the camera out of the 12 Pro Max in that phone, you know, because the Mini is a pretty damn good camera, actually. But it does frustrate me that Apple sort of said, we'll put our best camera in this giant phone, which takes stunning photographs. There's no two ways about it. I mean, if you're prepared to play with the Pro Raw a bit, and I'm a complete amateur by comparison with Gav, but even I can get some things out of the Pro Raw that is, you know, it really does make you think this is a really pretty powerful camera. But I wish they hadn't played that. We're only going to put the best camera in the hugest phone. I'd rather it was the other way around. You know, but there we are. But yeah, any of that range are, in my view, really, really good phones. I really do think, I think a lot of the reason I'm not playing with so many Androids is I was always in a constant search for the best camera. And I still have the P40 Pro, although that's the one sitting there with no SIM in it at the moment, which has got a great camera. It really is good. I mean, I can feel I'm going to be really torn when the P50 comes out, if it really does have a 1-inch sensor. That is going to be one hell of a camera, because I think Huawei know an awful lot about cameras. They're pretty good. But of course, you have this stupid no Google restriction. And I got Google Apps onto my P40 Pro early enough. I actually ran it for a couple of months without, and I could do it. But ultimately, in fact, it was Google Photos was the killer, because I was having to you know, get to all sorts of round the houses ways of getting my pictures into Google Photos. And so I did manage to get Google Apps on while it was still relatively easy to do. Now it is much harder to do. You can do it, but it doesn't seem to work quite so well as far as I can get.
Mike seems to have done it. I've listened to the latest PSA today.
He has done it, and it sounds like
it works really well.
He has done it, and I will actually have a chat with him about that, because it would be interesting to see what the methodology was now. But the way I did it, I mean, it was... Even then, it was a faff, because you basically tried to install it and you had to watch the size of various caches, and if they got too big, it would appear to be installed but wouldn't work. And I think it took me about 7 or 8 goes before it installed properly and the caches stayed the right size. And ever since then, it's been absolutely fine. I mean, it's updated to... in fact, it updated overnight. Let's see what the latest version of... it's got on there is... Yeah, it's got the latest... EMUI 11 on there, January 2021 security. I'm guessing it's probably Android 11 now, but it certainly started being Android 10. It's done all of those updates, absolutely no problem. It goes to the Google Play Store, updates all the apps, no problem. Basically, everything on this that Google wants works. So I'm very reluctant to ever tinker with that, but would I go to a P50 and try and hack it onto there? Maybe I am stupid enough. I don't know. There is a bit of me that certainly would.
I don't think you need to, just because, like, when Gav posts, I mean, he's posted pictures today from his dog from the Pro Max using Pro Raw and the Mini, which obviously doesn't have Pro Raw, and there's not that much difference.
No, I saw.
But I didn't understand why you didn't just go for a 12 Pro, because that would have seemed to have been the if the Pro Max is too big, then that would have seemed to have been the perfect solution as opposed to the Mini. But, you know, each to their own and all that.
I don't know how, I mean, not being able to completely compare them, but a Mini is smaller than the 12 Pro, isn't it? But yes, I would have thought
it is. But if you're coming from the Pro Max, then surely. I don't know. It's up to each person to decide. It seems like an odd swap over. I've looked at Jackie's again when he first said earlier in the week that he really was loving the Mini, and ultimately I just felt like no, I just couldn't live with it for some reason. The screen isn't quite as bright, even though I'm not full brightness anymore. Although I'm still 90 odd percent brightness, so it doesn't have very little difference.
I mean, I think that to be honest, I think this is entirely why I'm just not really terribly buying new kits at the moment. I mean, I think everybody was astonished when I didn't buy the S21 Ultra, even when there were the 4 or 5 of them really cheaply on the MeWe forum.
Yeah.
But I have a Samsung in my life. It's a Z Fold 2. I really, really like it.
Yeah, there's no point in
there's not. I mean, it's a great, great device. I really like it. It has my Vodafone SIM in it, and I'm quite happy for it to stay that way. Why would I want an S21 Ultra? There just is no reason. At the moment, I'm very, very content with the options that I've got. I mean, that's not to say I can't see ways in which some of them could be improved, but yeah, I mean, they just have produced an iPhone this year that really has an exceedingly good camera. And my opportunities, of course, to use that camera are still pretty limited, but hopefully getting better in the summer. I don't really feel I need to play with 6 Androids to get the right one.
No, exactly.
Whereas only 2 years ago, the iPhone demonstrably wasn't the best camera. And you still had a situation where, well, I think the P30 Pro was better than any iPhone camera up to possibly the 11 Pro, but certainly the 11 Pro is the only one I think would compare with it. Whereas this one, I think, yeah, this you're going to have to be a much, much better photographer than I am to do better than it.
And it's the same thing, really, in some respects, with a 1-inch sensor. I had a couple of cameras with a 1-inch sensor in, and quite often I didn't get a better photo than I got from my two-thirds of an inch, or whatever it is, 2.3, whatever it is, you know, 1/2, 2.3, on the Panasonics, you know, that had this tiny, tiny sensor, but they gave me a far better picture because they also had a proper optical zoom. on there. And to me, it seemed like a one-inch sensor really comes into its own with very low light photography.
Yeah.
As opposed to necessarily improving the image, given that most of us never look at them on much more than a 13-inch screen. The resolution from these things. Now, I took a picture of a cat, the cat that's adopted us. I took that on this Mi 10T Lite. And it's amazing, you know. It's a real, yeah. And I wasn't using the Google camera app hack. It was just using Xiaomi's camera app, and it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I'm probably gonna, for the first time ever, I'm probably gonna order the Note 10 Pro from Xiaomi from AliExpress later today. I've just checked with Mike.
Mike said it was tomorrow you've got to order it.
Tomorrow, sorry, not today. Tomorrow, yeah, apparently. But I don't know. I think it's. I don't know if it goes down tomorrow or not, but I'll wait till tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tomorrow it goes down.
Yeah, I don't think it goes down a lot. I think it's in the basket at about 220 or something. But I'll wait till tomorrow. There's no big deal.
I'd like to know how you manage that. Mine's in the basket at about 310. So are you in pounds or in dollars?
Pounds.
Yeah, I'm in dollars.
Yeah, well, that would be it then. Yeah, so I might even do that because what I really want, the reason, I think if I still had the iPhone 11 from last year, I'd be absolutely fine with this Mi 10. Absolutely fine. But because I've got the AMOLED screen on the iPhone, and, you know, you look at your home screen, I've always have a black, just a deep black background, and it just looks a bit crap on the Mi 10. You know, I probably shouldn't say if I'm trying to sell it or swap it, should I? No, it doesn't, you know, you have a picture on it and it looks absolutely fine. It's a good screen. But compared to the iPhone screen...
I hope you're ordering the nice bronze Note 10.
Oh, I don't give a monkeys. I think I put a grey one in there. It doesn't matter. It goes in a case and you never see it after day one. So it matters not a jot to me. Mm. Never has. I often think
used
actually.
To. If, oh, no, come on, used to. We used
no,
to
that was the front.
Screaming.
No, that front. Was the front of the phone. That was nothing ever to do with the back of the phone, despite your attempts to make it such.
Fair comment. You're right.
It was always the front of the phone that, and even that doesn't bother me now. I've got the, having put the new battery in, I've got the, which actually appears to have failed completely. It looks like I've just got a crap battery because I charged it to 100% last night, done nothing with it, and it's now at 19. My only possible saving grace is that my socket where I started charging it might have switched off because I have it auto switch off after 2 hours, and I only realised, I'm going to turn it back on now, I only realised yesterday that it doesn't actually reset the thing. So in other words, if I put it on an hour and a half ago to charge the MacBook, and then an hour and a half later I actually then say start up the socket for the Apple socket, it takes the 2 hours from when I started it an hour and a half ago, not from when I just started the Apple one. Does that make any sense at all?
So I
realise I've got it on the whole. So in other words, I've got a multi-strip from Maross with USB socket, four USBs and three 240 volt. And you can set each of those 240 volts and the block of four USB. You can set those separately. So I need to just go in and set that up in a slightly different way so that each socket is on a 2 hour turn off cycle rather than at the moment, the main one overrides it. So I'm hoping this morning that that it's just that that's happened and the battery isn't dud. It certainly worked for the first full charge because with not using it, it lasted about 3 days.
Sounds likely it's yours.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's just that the thing turned itself off. So yeah, I'll just finish up then because we're probably well over the hour now with my enforced edit that I've got to do. We're probably well over the hour, so just finish up with another quick request. If you want a Mi 10T Lite 5G UK official from the Mi website, immaculate obviously with an extra case. I want an Android, AMOLED is the most important thing for me, but obviously I don't want something that's on Android 9 and hasn't been updated, and I want something that's on at least like December last year security. So any of the Samsungs probably would do the job, wouldn't they? You know, that sort of thing. So if not, talk to me about, I don't know what price to set on it. I don't want to sell it straight away. I'd rather swap it, because then once I've sold it, although I think if I can get this, if I can get this Redmi, which has got AMOLED, for a couple of hundred quid, and then I guess the trick is whether you get hit for duty or not when it comes in.
If you do, you're looking at 40 quid, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. So it's not a lot, is it?
And that won't be for another month anyway.
No, no, that's right. 1st of April, I think they're quoting for it, which is the thing I've usually sort of railed against, and I may still rail against, and I'll probably go on Argos in a minute and order an S21 5G. No, I won't. I will not do that.
You might as well order an S20 FE.
What I really want is none of them.
Looking for one on the forum, for that matter.
They're about 350 quid at the minute, so I don't want to spend that much, really, if I can help it. But, well, thanks for listening, guys, and thanks for the contributions to the Flying Fund, let's call it that for now. And thank you if you send me anything for my birthday on to paypal.me/KevWright. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Cheerio.
Bye-zy-bye.